Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, we only have 2 45-minute shows, so I'm going to be playing a clip just briefly. What we're going to be talking about on the show is the Trump connection to Russia, and also we're going to be talking more in depth about how James Comey handled the Russian investigation in the summer before 2016, in which Obama and Comey already knew about the Russian perpetration into the election, but they kept it private. However, he did not keep Hillary Clinton's situation private. But I'm just going to play one clip first and then read part of an article by the New York Times. I see Albert and Ben is already on the line. So here goes.
For Hillary Clinton and the Democrats, it would be the agony of defeat. But for both, the same confounding question, what just happened? The New York landmark that embodies the 2016 presidential election is undoubtedly Trump Tower. Until Election Day, the signature triumph of Donald Trump's career. But a downtown cab ride away is another institution many believe played a key role in deciding the 45th American president. It is the New York field office of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, located in this lower Manhattan building. Not a place you'd normally associate with politics, but the FBI's part in this most unusual American election may have been a crucial one.
We have reason to think that he drove his ad into the World Trade Center.
And that story begins here with longtime FBI agent James Carlstrom. At the heart of the Bureau's New York office for almost 3 decades, he worked his way up to assistant director, investigating every kind of federal crime.
All these violent crimes, drugs, the RICO statute for major criminal organizations like the Cosa Nostra, the Mafia. I mean, that's what the FBI did. And I got up every morning feeling that I was doing something for the American citizen.
But he didn't have that same sense of pride serving under Bill Clinton, whose behavior in office he considered unpresidential and hateful.
Okay, I'm going to cut it out now. Basically, in the beginning of this video, they were talking about how Al Hamzan Tokatach Kuhanov, also known as Little Taiwanese, was a Uzbek citizen who influenced the Miss Universe pageant that Trump had in Moscow. He had a 100 million sports betting gambling ring inside the Trump Tower. And he also influenced the Russians who got first place in the last Olympics. He picked the Russians over the Canadians and bribed one of the judges. Anyways, what they're basically talking about is their Trump's corrupt business ties to certain Russians. And this guy whose last name I can hardly pronounce, it's Tokatakhunov, was one of those people. Now I'm just going to read two paragraphs and then I'm going to pull in my co-host. The day before the upended 2016 election, James P. Comey, the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, summoned agents, lawyers to his conference room. He had been planning to release his reinvestigation into Hillary Clinton's emails. One of his advisors asked him if he knew that this would affect the election, and he said, if we ever start considering who might be affected in what way by what we do, we're done, he told the agents. But with the polls showing Mrs. Clinton in a comfortable lead, Comey ended up plunging the FBI into the molten center of a bitter election. And then it goes on for a few paragraphs. Then I'm going to skip to this one. What Comey did not say was that the FBI was also investigating the campaign of Donald J. Trump. Just weeks before, Comey had declined to answer a question from Congress about whether there was such an investigation. Only 2 months after the election did he confirm that. For Comey, keeping the FBI out of politics was such a preoccupation that he refused to play basketball with Barack Obama. But he had started the investigation of Donald Trump earlier that year in July. An examination by the New York Times based on interviews with 30 current and former law enforcement, congressional officials, and government officials found that while partisanship was not a factor in Comey's approach, he handled Clinton's and Trump's investigations starkly different. In the case of Clinton, he rewrote the script partly based on FBI expectations that she would win and feared the Bureau would be accused of helping her. In the case of Donald Trump, he conducted the investigation by the book with the FBI traditional secrecy. Many of the officials discussed the investigation on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak to reporters. So with that, I'm going to pull in my two co-hosts. Good evening, Albert, and good evening, Ben.
Hello.
Hey.
Our only enemy tonight is Russia. Don is taking his wife out for her birthday dinner.
Oh, I bet he's still listening.
Yeah, you never know with him. I was just going to let you guys know that I didn't have a lot of time to plan, and my payment method failed, and I can't do the premium Blog Talk Radio until next week, so we're having either one or two 45-minute shows, depending on how the next 40 minutes goes. And John should be calling in, too. So what's on your guys' mind tonight as far as current events?
Well, did you know that Chelsea Manning was released?
Yes, I did know that. And to tell you the truth, I thought she looked pretty good.
Good for him.
But in retrospect, I thought that was a pretty radical move on Barack Obama's part.
Well, he did it because Edward Snowden told him, like, if he released Chelsea Manning, that he'll come and give himself up. Yeah, Edward Snowden said that he'll come and give himself up. He'll come back to America and face the charges if they were released Brandy Manning. And so right after he said that, Barack Obama started pushing the case to release Bradley Manning, and then finally, a couple of months later, finally got it done.
Wow. Well, why did you say good for him, Ben? Do you think Bradley Manning should have been released?
You know, I don't know much about it. It just seemed a little bit hokey because the whole article, what is it, Article 9 thing that went through caused such a disaster with the states versus the government. So it almost kind of seemed like a big distraction or somebody had something to gain or something to prove with Manning. And
yeah,
I can only talk
about this briefly tonight because I'm not prepared to talk about it. But
well, I felt like he was
mentally unstable.
Well,
in my opinion,
though, because the Bradley Manning released sensitive information, and he released some video footage about, you know, U.S. Marine troops that were killing innocent civilians. And guess what? So he went to jail for 7 years, right? But those U.S. Marines that killed civilians didn't face any jail time whatsoever. They received no punishment whatsoever. Nothing happened to them. But
yeah,
Chelsea,
I'm not against talking about him, Albert. I just have something else planned tonight.
Oh no,
but,
Albert, I just want to put some quick points. It won't take long.
I was just going to say that he did release thousands of documents too.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing is that if you kill innocent civilians, you're okay and you'll get a pay raise. But if you show video footage of that, then you'll go to jail for a long time like Bradley Manning did. So yeah. It just goes to show, you know what I mean? Killing civilians is okay. If you're showing that video footage of civilians getting killed, then you go to jail.
Right. WikiLeaks named the Baghdad airstrike video collateral murder, and Assange released it on WikiLeaks. There was a lot of things that Manning leaked, and she gave it strictly to Julian Assange's organization, which showed a lot of airstrikes, Afghan war logs, Iraq war logs, diplomatic cables between State Department people, and quite a bit of other stuff, which I'm not prepared to talk about, but maybe you, but we'll go back to the main subject and then we'll come back to this. So I think that it was a political risk on Obama's part as far as his legacy, but I'm not saying it's wrong by any stretch of the imagination. Now, I do want to mention one more thing about the article I was reading to you guys. Comey distrusted Loretta Lynch, and there was some kind of memo that was circulating about his distrust, and Russian hackers stole the document that was written by a Democratic insider. So even the FBI was hacked by Russians. So do you guys know anything about that story?
No.
The Russian hacking thing, I haven't seen any proof of anything from anyone other than a newspaper headline.
I know,
so
but this is one thing that I found out today. I do have I will read something to you, but up until today, I didn't know how the Russians infiltrated the election, but now they're saying that it was cyber intrusion in the voting process, which I don't know how they would have pulled that off.
Which is really not possible because the voting machines aren't connected to the internet, so they can't be hacked online.
Well, I'm not really sure what they meant in that video.
Well, where does Seth Rich fall under all this? What about Seth Rich and how he was killed and him being possibly the leak to Assange? Doesn't that destroy the whole Russia
scenario? I think his name was Seth Ridge, not Seth Rich.
Seth Rich.
I just heard about that today on NPR. I know nothing about it.
Well, he was the DNC insider who supposedly was leaking information and was killed. And
okay, I can look it up while we're online, but I thought you guys knew more about the headline news, so We might have to change topics.
Well, it's still part of the same topic. It's just the part that people aren't talking about.
Well, the first time I heard about Southridge was yesterday. So he was killed July 11, 2016. He worked for the DNC, and it happened in the Bloomingdale neighborhood of Northwest Washington, D.C. Seth Conrad Rich died on Flagler Place Northwest, blah, blah, blah. I don't know who even killed them, do you?
Nobody does. There's WikiLeaks put out a reward to try and find out who killed him, and nobody's even stepped forward. They haven't announced anything.
Wow, that's pretty sad.
Well, I heard about it when it happened. I heard about it back in the summertime in July because it was one of a few other people that died also around the same time connected. So he was killed, and then somebody else was killed or died in a strange way. And I think there was a couple other people. I don't remember. I should have looked it up if I was gonna. I didn't know I was gonna talk about this.
Well, I basically just wanted to talk about, there's so much backlash over this Comey firing, and now they're talking about another investigation and possible impeachment. It just seems like it is kind of a witch hunt. Like, I don't think our government can function properly at all.
I have a question. If you're James Comey, how in the world could you trust either side? I mean, especially Loretta Lynch, because she was so connected. There were so many shady things happening at the time anyway. And I don't see him being able to trust knowing that she was the prosecutor. Or what was she?
It did
Attorney
say
General.
In the Washington... Albert, I am going to let you talk again about your friend Chelsea Manning, because we're not too prepared tonight, but it did say in the Washington article that Comey, he went forward with the Clinton emails because he found some missing ones, like 30,000. And he said he didn't do it for political reasons, but he also he didn't trust Loretta Lynch, but the article also said is he didn't trust a lot of people in his own department.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand, when he went about the Russian thing, maybe it's since it contained a foreign government, he was more secretive about that investigation because he was scared what the American public might think if we were being influenced by a foreign government. I don't know. They even tried to analyze how Donald Trump tried to shake Comey's hand and partially hug him in public. So I did find out, I do have one new article up, and then I'm going to let Albert talk. Julian Assange suggests Seth Rich, who was murdered in D.C., was WikiLeaks DNC source. The 27-year-old staffer was murdered. The killer or killers took nothing from their victim, leaving behind his wallet, watch, and phone. Shortly after the killing, Reddit and social media users were pursuing a lead, saying Rich was en route to the FBI the morning of his murder, apparently intending to speak to special agents about an ongoing court case involving the Clinton family. Seth Rich's father, Joel, told reporters it was a robbery. If it was a robbery, it failed because he still has his watch, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. That's all it said. And then, like you said, WikiLeaks offered a $20,000 reward. So, Albert, is there anything you know about Bradley Manning that you want to bring up again?
No, not much is mentioned, except what he posted off on Instagram, like right when he came out. He posted an Instagram and then posted a picture of his shoes and a picture of a pizza and a picture of this face of the new haircut and everything and a bunch of lipstick. I'm like, Okay. And then he posted
her. Yeah, she has short hair. You have to call her She now.
Yeah, she with the new haircut. And then she posted up on the Instagram saying that it feels, I can't remember exactly what she said, but it's something like it feels new to be outside now, finally. Looking for a bright future. I mean, hopefully looking for a bright future, something like that. So, you know, something like that. But it all seemed like right off the book or something like that's what they told her to say or something like that. You would think right after she come out, there'd be a bunch of like reporters taking video of her coming out and pictures and videos and stuff like that. I mean, you would think right when she comes out, she'd be on like the RT News or Democracy Now or other, you know, a media station, you know, talking right away. But I guess she's coming out and having on her own time, being by herself and whatnot, not, you know, making any, you know, talking to the media or nothing. So I'm strange why Bradley Manning has not talked to the media at all yet. You know, and it's, I think,
well,
it's
maybe
been over a week.
She needed a couple days off. She's been, I know she was in solitary confinement the first 2 years on and off, but she did violate the military code of ethics. She aided the enemy, and she released a lot of, she was charged under the Espionage Act. I'm not a law and order person. I'm just saying that both her and Snowden took a lot of risk to get information out that.
Well, she's been in jail for 7 years, but the last year she's been in jail, she tried to commit suicide twice already, and just
I don't think
year
it was
ago,
the
right?
last year. I think it was a couple years ago.
No, it was just 1 year
right?
ago. It was about 1 year ago that she tried to commit suicide already, and it was already her second time, and so yeah. It was really recently, I remember, here in Illinois. So, you know, you can imagine, I mean, trying to commit suicide, I mean, how they're treating her in jail, you know? It wasn't pretty a picture for all those 7 years, you know? And that solitary confinement, even though it was not, I would say that she was in solitary confinement, like, all the time, you know? Because it is a military prison either way, so it's kind of, I mean, would you defy solitary confinement? Might be two different abbreviations. Maybe she's locked in a small cage and a bigger cage. But either way, she was never able to communicate to the media or outside. The media was never even able to do an interview with Bradley Manning anyways. And there's a lot of other people, you know, in America, they're in jail.
Albert, I have to interrupt you a second. John is on hold, but you can keep talking, but I'm going to read a statement that Bradley Manning said after he was convicted.
Yeah,
but go ahead and talk.
Yeah, I was almost finished anyways. I was just going to say that there's a lot of other people in America that are in prison, and they've done interviews with a lot of, you know, media stations, you know, and that Bradley's never done one. So that would tell you the type of confinement she was in. But anyway,
well, some of those people in Abu Ghraib did have to serve some time who committed crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what Abu Ghraib is?
The prison.
What?
The prison.
Yeah. Let me just read a couple lines of this stuff Bradley Manning said. I am a 25-year-old private first class in the U.S. Army. My primary military occupational specialty, or MOS, is a 35 Foxtrot intelligence analyst. Oh, God, there's one line per page. I entered active duty status on October...
You should
I
look
entered
up the
active duty. Should I just skip it and wait till next week? Okay, basically, She released millions of documents. She also released something called the Reykjavik 13 about some kind of foreign relations with Iceland. She did some damage, but I mean, can we bring John in and let's see what he has to say?
Yeah.
Good evening, John.
What's up, John?
We're just going to do a full... Ben said hi, John.
Hello.
So we're only doing a 45-minute show. Why? Because none of us are prepared. And I don't think two shows tonight would be very effective.
We should crash somebody else's random show and just crash in there and start, you know.
I'm going to give you guys some homework for next week. You have to investigate Little Taiwanese, the Uzbekistan Russian mobster named Alimanzan Tokatakhunov, who is friends with Donald Trump and runs a sports betting operation in Trump Towers over $100 million. He bribed Olympian judges, and he also was spotted at the Miss Universe pageant in Moscow in 2013, which is something Donald Trump ran.
Well, that's not very...
And John, we...
Any one
homework.
Of those women could win. Sorry.
Well, supposedly they have Donald Trump having sex on tape, these Russian mobsters, and that's how they're holding something over his head.
All things are possible. I'm sure they probably photoshopped in Bill Clinton in the action. And there's a lot of hearsay. I mean, there's talk, of course, Clinton going to that island I think it's around Indonesia, I believe, where they basically sex traffic. And I mean, there's pictures of him with the guy who was actually arrested for doing that trade, and he takes celebrities, to there. To his private island. And it looks like an Egyptian, kind of like a pyramid slash, not pyramid, like a, kind of a temple. But there's a lot of hearsay with Hillary, having sex with girls and her assistant. But the question is, where's the proof? Where's the evidence? And, because there's a lot of speculation, so they have to be really, before they character assassinate people, they really need to have their evidence together, and because there's a lot of hearsay, because all these guys are in the same bed.
Okay, this wasn't the FBI. This was not the FBI that opened up this sex situation. It was a YouTube video called The Conspiracy Files. Putin, the FBI, and Donald Trump, run by a YouTube group called the Fifth Estate.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Let's just say, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, right? Let's just say Hillary Clinton is Secretary of State. Well, I was, right? And Donald Trump's president, right? So let's just say they're really in control of the system, right? So if there was any evidence, wouldn't just like cancel or do whatever they want. They control the FBI, the CIA, the DEA,
How do you know?
They control it, but they kind of control it.
That's
a good
point that Obama was president during all this stuff. All he had to do is during this election is just go, what's your file on Trump? Oh, release it. There it is. Here's pictures of him with having this, and like, you're done. Like, because they wanted him out.
It's like you're saying,
well,
like,
John, you missed the first part. Both Obama and Comey Obama knew that Comey was investigating the Russian ties to Trump in July of last year. So he already knew about it, and he didn't say a damn word about it either.
But that was discovered in the WikiLeaks emails with Podesta and Hillary. They were talking about blowing up this Russia story because it's working. 2 days, I think it was 2 days. When was that? There's an intercepted email.
It was in August or July. It was in August or July.
Yeah, that was already the plan to use that as ammo, basically. The I think how it was worded was, let's continue this Trump-Putin bromance story. And
yeah, but
that's
there
in
was,
the inside
but
the
you know
DNC.
What? There was an independent investigation in the FBI already going on before the DNC knew, but the thing was is there was a Democratic insider in the FBI that was zipping them off.
Right. That's the only way they would even know if there was an investigation. How would they know that?
Here's a question, though,
I'll
Jane.
I'll tell you.
Here's the question, and that is, let's say right now I go, you know, I have a picture of Don, Jane, and John. They're at this orgy. They're having sex with underage. Oh, in fact, there's some animals involved and underage children. And we're going to investigate it. Won't they then say, here's the picture, today slap, or within a week or a month, or they leak it to someone. Here's a year later. Well, we're doing an investigation. If you have it, they would spill it. And that's what I don't understand. What don't they have that it's a year later they've been talking about this? Why doesn't someone just say, here's a picture?
If they have something, it's probably nebulous. It's probably going to take down people that they don't want taken down.
Aha.
There's dirt on everybody everywhere, but it's a matter of reporting. Now, I had read a New York Times article how Comey kept things under the lid about Russia, that he didn't want that leak to get out. But the Russian hackers had stole a document within the FBI that was that was tapped in by a Democratic insider, had some dirt on the way the FBI was handling it, and apparently Russian hackers got a hold of that document. I have to find the article now, so I don't have any details except for that.
So you're saying the Russians killed the evidence that they had in their hot little hands?
Right. Like a Democratic – let me find the information, but you guys, I have to take a 30-second potty break, so keep talking. I'll be right back.
Well, yeah, but that's what the Western media says. Why doesn't the Western media say, oh, we hacked the Russians? Yeah, you don't hear that. But if you go to Russia, then that's when you'll hear it.
Right.
So, of course, yeah, you know,
fishy. It sounds like a lot of hearsay. And all I know is that people are so eager to blow their horn. They're so eager to expose. Ever since Watergate, anyone who's got real jump up and go, New York Times, fly. They're not going to run it through censors. You see stuff getting leaked all the time. If someone has a smoking gun or they've got the magic bullet, they're going to blurt it. I mean, there's no restraint on trying to nail Trump.
No,
so
of
I
course.
Really think
the American media will never say they hacked the Russians, and the Russian media will never say we hacked the U.S. But each other will blame each other from one side to the other. Yeah. And then if you try to argue the point of whatever point they have, then you're on their side. You know what I mean? If you complain about America, then you're on the Russian side, and you should leave. You know what I mean? You should get out the country or blah blah blah. You know, some people would say.
Well, you can't
keep on the other side of the team, or you know what I mean?
There were things that happened in Guantanamo. There were things, you know, and within days, hours, minutes, I mean, here's pictures of them abusing prisoners or, you know, flaunting, you know, they're urinating on a prisoner, or they're standing on top of a Muslim and they're making fun of the Quran. Or you've got other stuff where with the military scandal, having nude pictures. And it was all over the place. Oh, here's a website. They're posting nude pictures of these women without their knowledge. And here's the person doing it. And, I mean, everyone's just blaring this stuff out. So here we have a situation. The President of the United States, they could nail him. I mean, they could get him out. And there's a lot of people that would, you know, love to do that. And I say that's fine if you want to do that. But the point is, I don't think they've got the goods, because someone would have leaked it already. Anything that Trump says to someone in confidence, it gets blurted. It gets blared out. You know, if they're blurring out just little conversations that are nebulous, if they had real hard evidence, they would throw it out there. I just really believe that.
Well, I have a question for you guys since we have short time. Why exactly did Michael Flynn get fired?
It was about loyalty. I think it wasn't so much about what he did being wrong. I think it was more about the way he wasn't all the way up front with Mike Pence.
Okay.
And I know...
Well, he had some knowledge on emails, phone calls, and meetings and dealings with the Russians. Michael Flynn did. I guess he didn't come abreast of all those situations.
But they already said that wasn't, like, top secret stuff. That was already known knowledge. I mean, that was stuff that was already... I mean, McMaster's was in the room, he said.
Okay, so how about that one meeting last week with lower-level Russian officials when Trump disclosed information about ISIS that he wasn't supposed to? Is that just a lack of knowledge of protocol? Because I'm sure he didn't do it on purpose.
Or maybe he did. If you've read Hamlet, you know, kind of one strategy in war is you say things or you even ramble like an idiot, and then people jump out, and then you go, oh, so, you know, you basically call out people that whoever jumps out to attack you, like, oh, that's the enemy right there. Fire that guy. Oh, this person spoke out. Oh, he wasn't supposed to know about it, but now he's exposing his hand. So there's a lot of that counter strategy going on right now. And I have a feeling he's playing people, you know, that's just my own personal opinion, but because some of the stuff he says is like, you're just getting wild and cavalier, but it's part of the show. It's part of the circus. Misdirection. You know, a magician learns misdirection. Look at my hand. Look at this. But you're not looking at the elephant behind the curtain. So,
well, yeah, the divide got farther. I mean, it seems like under Obama, the government got more powerful and more secretive, and more things were going on underground, basically. And I think Donald Trump's worried about that because he's always run a company where people are loyal to the company, to him, basically. And I think he's coming into this new territory where there's people that look at him every day that pass him in the halls. He doesn't know if they're trying to, you know, if they're on the other side. Because the sides have changed a lot. It's gotten a lot worse. This election.
Well, the stuff that's been leaked out on Trump as far as conversations, it's inner circle stuff. So you sit there and you go, I'm in a room with, you know, 10 of my favorite people or 16 or 8, and someone's leaking this because it's not pro spin. Or if it's leaked, it's intentional. Like, yeah, I'm saying this, I just want to see who's leaking it, you know, like it's obviously down to 8 people or 4. Maybe I tell something to someone in confidence and it gets around. Okay, I know where that one came from. So there is a new, he definitely is, it's a different learning curve, and he's learning out how these political circles run. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, people are salivating. They want impeachment any second, you know, and actually, I think this is good, I think, as far as a lot of things need to be changed. And so I see a lot of change coming out of this. I see confrontation and drama. And the way it was before, it was covert and quiet, and people were slowly getting cooked to death as far as our country. So I think this is good. I think a shakeup is needed.
We only have 6 minutes left, and I'm going to do my conclusion now. I wanted to let you guys know that according to 3 former officials, Barack Obama warned Donald Trump against hiring Michael Flynn. Why? Because the Obama administration fired Flynn in 2014 from his position as head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. The reason was largely due to mismanagement and his temperament issues. So that was before Obama knew that Flynn had a connection to a Russian ambassador. So
yeah,
I don't really have a conclusion.
He
just
want to
know if you guys
want to
continue the show in 15 minutes. Because I do have another show set up.
You want to?
Yes or no? Okay, I'll
go
for another 30 minutes after we hang up from this show, but we're going to get cut off in 5 minutes.
All right, for sure.
Ben or Albert, do you want to say something before we get cut off?
Yeah, well, most of the staff that gets hired, you know, or Barack Obama, Donald Trump, or whatever, you know, they always have a connection to the public relations office or some kind of public relations, you know. And it's always the best of the public relations. I said that before, but, you know, I'd have to look that up in a documentary that I saw. It's a documentary about public relations and other stuff, but it's a lot of stuff. But anyways, yeah, just making a quick chat. Not really a closing. I'll do a closing statement on the next one.
Okay. How about you, Ben?
Well, you know, there was a couple other things I wanted to bring up too, but I don't know if we'd have time. I was actually disappointed with Trump for not bringing up the death of Lavoie Finicum when it happened, because that seemed to be kept quiet, and I think Obama knew about it very well, and I think Loretta Lynch knew about it very well, and definitely the governor of Oregon knew about it, and the FBI director from that area, and not one word was said by Trump on his campaign. And farmers, ranching, and land and power back to the states was part of his message. So he should have known about Lavoie Finicum being killed. And he never said a word. So I was disappointed about that during the campaign.
Well, there's a lot of strategy and
counter. No, in our next episode. But can you really repeat the name of that person that you said?
Lavoie Finicum?
Yeah, who is that?
He was a rancher, protester. He wasn't a protester, really. I guess I think he was just principled enough to drop what he was doing and go try to help out another family. That's what I got from them.
Okay. Well, so you guys, I'm going to end the show now, and you're going to call back in 15 minutes to the same number, okay? I'll see you guys
okay.
In 15. I'm going to play John's song as it fades out, okay?
Okay.
See you guys.
See you.